What'd you just say? I mentioned last week that that was the question that my mother would ask us if she thought she heard a cuss word come out of our mouth. And it didn't have to be a cuss word. It could just be a euphemism. It might not even be a euphemism. It may just be something she didn't like. But last week we began a lesson on the subject of cussing. And the subtitle of our lesson was this: The Condemnation of Cussing. In that lesson, we did several things. We began by noticing a text in Luke 4:22. The Bible talked about how when people heard Jesus, they wondered. And what did they wonder at? They wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. Notice that, gracious words. When you look up the definition of the word gracious, it has reference to that which is sweet, to that which is kind, to that which is cordial. One individual defined it as speech of grace. My friends, the Bible exhorts us to speak gracious words as well in Colossians 4 verse 6. Notice what Paul writes. Let your speech be always with grace. He continues by saying, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. Just like the Lord's words, our words are also supposed to be gracious, kind, sweet words as the children of God. But we live in a world that is evil and vile, don't we? We live in a profane world. We live in a carnal world. And sometimes even we as Christians are influenced by the world, and even in the things that we speak and the things that we say. And sometimes even good people, Christian people, will curse. We asked two questions in last week's lesson. Number one, what is cursing? And we looked at nine different definitions of the term cursing. We also asked this question: why do people cuss? And there are thousands of reasons why individuals cuss. We looked at about eight or nine of them in our lesson last week. But we found that an excuse, a reason, doesn't make it right, does it? This morning we're going to ask three more questions about this idea of cussing. The first one is this: why is cussing wrong? Let's look at several answers. Number one, cussing is wrong because it is condemned in God's Word. There are several places that condemn cursing. One of those is found right here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. There's that word again, grace, isn't it? You see, God wants our words not to be corrupt words, not to be vile words, not to be words that are profane and worldly. He wants us to use gracious words in all that we say. We turn over to the next chapter, Galatians 5 verse 4. Listen to what he says. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Notice that second term, foolish talking. Folks, that's exactly what cussing is, isn't it? So the Bible, over and over, and we could go to probably another 10 or 12 verses to show where the Bible condemns filthy, profane, dirty words in our speech. But all God really needs to say it is one time to be enough. Secondly, the Bible condemns cursing because it exhorts us as Christians not to be conformed to the world. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, those in the world curse, do they not? Those ungodly individuals, those individuals who are carnal in nature, those individuals who are filthy, and those individuals who are vile, they think nothing of cursing whatsoever. The Bible says, don't be like them. I want you to be different. And He wants us to be different, not in just by the life that we live, but also by the words that we use. It was John who said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2, verse 15. We need to separate ourselves just as far as we possibly can from the world and all the evil that is in it. But notice too, it is condemned in the Bible because the Bible tells us that we are to seek to be holy. The idea of holy involves being pure and being set apart for a special purpose unto the Almighty God. And the reason for that is because God is holy. In Revelation chapter 15, notice what the text says. Who shall fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Now listen, for thou only art holy. There is one being who is holy through and through. There is one being who is totally, completely holy, who has never been tainted by sin and iniquity, and that is God. Question. Can you imagine God cussing as He speaks? Can you imagine Jesus while He was walking the face of this earth, getting around individuals and using cuss words in order to speak to them? Folks, I can't picture a time, an instance, where God would ever just cuss another individual. Can you? Not even use a cuss word, folks. He's too pure and He's too holy for that. And guess what He's done? He's called us to be holy like He is holy. Notice, because as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, the Bible condemns cursing from a lot of different perspectives. It condemns the actual act. It tells us not to be like unto the world. And it tells us in every aspect of our lives to be as holy as we possibly can. But notice number two. Folks, cussing takes one away from God. Those individuals who curse usually are not people who are real close to God. Most of the time, they're not those individuals who are extremely spiritual in nature. God, Christ, the church, His righteousness, the kingdom, those are not first and foremost in their lives. Paul describes the Jews not in their righteous state in Romans chapter 3, but in their sinful state. In fact, He tells the Jews that they are like unto the Gentiles. In fact, not only are they like unto the Gentiles, but they are worse than the Gentiles because they are the people of God. And listen to how He describes them. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. The Jews had turned into a very vile, corrupt group of individuals. And even filled their language with cursing. And thus, it was part of their departure from God. You see, when we start using the language of the world, my friends, it is impossible for us to go closer to the Almighty God. Number three, it does not manifest self-discipline. One of the key elements of the child of God is to discipline himself. To bring himself fully and completely in control and to obey the will of the Almighty God. And guess what? That includes the tongue, doesn't it? James 1 verse 26. If any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, listen to him, this man's religion is vain. Isn't that amazing? If you and I can't control our tongue, if you and I cannot discipline our tongue, if we cannot put a bridle on our tongue, then James says, our religion is useless and worthless. It's empty. It's vain. You see, you and I have to be able to control even our speech. Notice this. Folks, cursing will put an individual on a downhill course in his spiritual life. The reality is this. There is only one of two ways that you and I are going spiritually. Either you and I are going up or you and I are going down. And the minute that you and I begin to engage in bad language, foul language, guess what? We start a downward spiral, don't we? Notice 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. But shun profane and vain babblings. Notice that little word, profane. We talked about profanity last week, didn't we? And how that is sacrilegious. Profanity is that which is against, that which is sacred. Now notice how he ends it. For they will increase more and more unto what? Unto ungodliness. Folks, you and I have to be very careful about the sin and the iniquity that we allow into our lives, don't we? Because you see, what happens is, the moment you and I allow sin into our lives, it just continually increases. And it just continually spreads and gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. One word leads to two words. Two words leads to three words. Three words leads to a multitude of words. You see, there is a downward spiral when ungodly language enters our life. Notice this next one. It ruins our example. Didn't Paul tell Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, to be an example? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And I find it interesting that he begins with this, in word. Be an example in your speech. Be an example in your talk. This morning, I was going over my lesson and it hit me. Be thou an example. I got to thinking, who am I supposed to be an example to? I got 8 little grandchildren. No, I got 6 little ones and 2 big ones. But I, as a granddad, am supposed to be an example to those little ones. Now, the reason I picked them is because they're very dear to me. They're precious. And you want to be able to live your life in such a way that you can look at those grandchildren and you can say, hey, follow me to the very doors of heaven. You do what I do, and guess what? You will make it there. My question that I asked myself was this. Can I honestly look at every one of my grandchildren and tell them, follow my example? Can I do that? That's what Paul is exhorting me to do. Be thou an example. Be a pattern, be a model. And notice he begins first with the word, word. In your words, in your language that you speak. Could we say that to our grandchildren? I want you to follow me in the way I speak. But folks, there's others to whom we're to be examples, aren't we? Our brothers and sisters in Christ, the people with whom we work, our next door neighbors, individuals who see us out and about just on an occasional basis. Folks, the entirety of the world is oftentimes looking at Christians to see how they behave and the language that they use. And Paul says, be an example. Notice point number 6. It violates the law of kindness. Paul says in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another. Those curse words aren't kind words. Now there may be, I don't know, I haven't asked many guys that's been in the military this or not. There may have been one or two of their commanders who were able to cuss them out kindly. I don't know. But there may have been. You know, some guys learn a skill. But I seriously doubt it. Because you see, folks, cursing doesn't communicate kindness, does it? Cursing involves anger. Cursing involves wrath. Cursing involves hate. Cursing involves condemnation. That's the reason we're using the words. We're wanting to express all of those kind of negative feelings and negative emotions on another individual. And we want to make certain they get the point. But it's not the use of kindness. How about this next one? It violates the golden rule. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 12, "All things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them, for this is the law and the prophets." We've changed the wording just a little bit, and we put it like this: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I've never had a person curse me, and I look back at them and say, "Thank you for doing that." Have you? Never. I've never had a person curse me, and I say something like this: "Boy, that was awful sweet of you." I don't like to be cussed. Do you? And folks, if you don't like to be cussed, then guess what? Don't cuss somebody else. That's what Jesus is teaching. Whatever you want done to you, guess what? Do ye to the other person. This last one is a little bit unique. You want to know when people often cuss? They cuss at the wrong times. And they cuss at the wrong people. Sometimes individuals cuss spouses and children. Folks, are those the people that we really want to curse? Are those the people that we really want to place condemnation upon? Sometimes individuals will curse a close friend. They get angry, they get upset, they know that they can curse, so they just let a few fly with a close friend. Sometimes it's with an employer. Sometimes it's with an individual who is in a position of authority. Folks, you surely don't want to do that. See, the problem with cursing is once we allow it, it just gets out of control, doesn't it? And we just begin to do it at the wrong time, against the wrong people, and it just becomes a part of who we are and our makeup. And now we're known as that person with a foul mouth. Sad, isn't it? Folks, we've given you 8 reasons why cursing is wrong. But there's another question we want to ask, and it's this: how do you overcome cursing? How do you do that? Sometimes when you talk to an individual who curses a lot, that individual says, "I try and I try and I try and I just can't quit cursing." Oh, poor thing. Can he quit cursing? Oh, yes. There's a way. Number one, folks, we've got to understand it's wrong. As Christians especially, it's wrong. Isn't that what the Bible says? You see, we study God's Word, and God's Word says what? Bridle your tongue, or your religion is vain. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It's wrong. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Don't use those ugly, vile, profane words. You see, I study the Word of God, and I find out, you know, that's the wrong thing to do as a Christian. But I also come to understand as I study that there are consequences that have to be faced when an individual cusses, doesn't he? I wound my example. I wound my character. I hurt another individual. And we'll see in just a moment that I'm going to stand before God for the words that I use. Folks, there's consequences. to our language, isn't there? Secondly, we have to truly repent and change. At the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to what? To repent. Acts 17, verse 30. That little word repent means change. It means die to sin. Paul tells us to mortify our members which are upon the earth. That means put them to death. Those areas wherein you are sinning, those areas wherein we are transgressing the Word of God, folks, those areas need to die, according to Paul. That's repentance. Now, when Jesus was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, He told them this, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Matthew 3, verse 8. You see, there are fruits that come when we truly repent. Rather than speaking filthy language, I now speak good words. Rather than cursing, my speech now is with grace and with kindness and with sweetness rather than with poison toward others. I bring forth fruits meet for repentance. So we do what? Number one, we study God's Word and understand, hey, this vile language is wrong. Number two, I'm going to repent. I'm going to change. I'm not going to do this anymore. Number three, we need to stop for a moment and come to an understanding of when and where it is done. Oftentimes, there are certain triggers and certain events and certain people that come into our lives that cause us, and I put that word in quotation marks, to cuss. And it may be that it's only during those times and in those settings that we do it, so I need to become well aware of when and where I use profanity. Because the minute I do, then when I get into those situations, I can wake myself up, can't I? You know, this is one of those situations. I know it's I'm going to get triggered here, and I'm going to have to put more restraints on myself. Notice this next one. Folks, we've got to rid ourselves of all of our excuses. I'm just amazed at how we as Christians can find excuses not to do what God tells us to do. And we do it in a lot of different areas, don't we? Why'd you do that? I was angry. Why'd you say that? Because he said it to me. Why'd you cuss? Because he needed to be put in his place. You see, we got all these excuses as to why we don't have to obey God's Word. And somehow, we think that that justifies our doing it in the eyes of God. Folks, it doesn't. There are no excuses. When God gives a command, guess what? That command is authoritative. That command will stand, and that command will never, never be justified by a human being. We've got to rid ourselves of every excuse as to why we do it. Notice the next one. Have someone hold you accountable. That's not fun, is it? That's not fun. Especially at first. Because it seems like this person's on us all the time. That's the 50th cuss word you've used today. And folks, guess what? That's an understatement for some people. Do you know that? Just go out in our world and listen to them. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Sometimes we're going to have to put up a form or a system of accountability. You got to give me a dollar a word. If throughout the entirety of the world, Victor Eskew were given a dollar for every cuss word spoken on that one day, I could retire and tour the world. You know that? It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's not the money, folks, that's important, is it? Why do you do it? To wake yourself up to how many times you are doing it. You see, oftentimes we just get accustomed to doing something and we don't even think about it. And When we finally have to pay a price for it, then all of a sudden we begin to wake up to, man, I'm doing this a lot more than I ever thought. I'm talking a lot more words than I ever dreamed I was saying. And when you wake up to a problem, folks, that's half the battle, isn't it? And how about this last one? Don't associate with others that cuss. Be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt what? Good morals. When we're around corrupt people, guess what? All that does is corrupt us, isn't it? Sometimes we just need to distance ourselves from those individuals who would tempt us to do what's wrong, even in our speech. Question 3. Will God judge our words? 3 verses. How about this first one, folks? The Bible tells us He's going to judge our idle words. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, "But I say unto thee, every idle word that men shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word, every useless word, every vile word, every empty word, every word that you and I speak that matters not at all, guess what? We will give an account of that word. "Well, I was just using it for emphasis." Who cares? Who cares? Notice this next one. Folks, God's going to judge our secret things. And I emphasize secret things. And the reason I do is because there are many Christians who might cuss, but guess what? They cuss in secret. There's only certain places they do that. They don't come to the church building and cuss. Isn't that amazing? Here's a Christian who can spend 4, 5, 6 hours in a church building every week, never hear a cuss word out, leaves the building, jumps in his car, and guess what? Starts cussing. "What? I thought you said you can't control this." But you can control it around the people that you want to control it around. You only do it when? I only do it in secret. Maybe just at work with the boys. Maybe just at the bar with the boys. Maybe just at home where I can get away with it. Secret things. Nobody even knows that we cuss. The Bible says those secret things are going to be brought into judgment, aren't they? "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Doesn't matter what it is. Folks, it was the Apostle Paul who says that everything we do in our body will be judged, according to 2 Corinthians 5:10. Notice, "For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or what? Or bad." Folks, God's going to judge everything there is about us. Our behavior, our attitude, our thoughts, and yes, even our words, isn't he? Will God hold us accountable for our language? Absolutely. Folks, look at a few things. Every aspect of our lives as God's children is supposed to be under the authority of the Word of the living God, isn't it? Even our language. Every aspect of our lives is supposed to be a manifestation of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, even our language. Every part of the life that we live is supposed to be as holy as we could possibly make it, even our language. And folks, every aspect of our lives will be judged in the last day, even our language. Last week we closed with this verse. It's a beautiful verse. One that all of us as Christians should take to heart. In fact, we should memorize it. It was David's desire for himself, and it needs to be our desire as well. Listen to what he says. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. I find it interesting that David mentioned two aspects of his being, doesn't he? The words of his mouth, the meditation of his heart. The reason he included his heart is because that's where everything begins, doesn't it? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, are the issues of life. Folks, if I really want to control my mouth, guess what I do? I control my heart first. It's not easy in an evil world to be holy and righteous and godly, is it? And folks, all of us struggle in different areas. Some individuals, they don't have any problems whatsoever with cursing. None. There are other individuals who only struggle with it at certain times and certain points in their life. It's not like it's done every day. It's just done occasionally, but those occasions repeat themselves, don't they? But then there's some who have been severely impacted by the world. And even though they're Christians, they're having extreme difficulties letting go of that evil past, dying to that way of living, and being like Christ, who has gracious words which proceed out of the mouth. Maybe there's someone here who needs to repent of sin. Ask God to forgive them. The Bible tells us if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1, verse 9. Maybe there's somebody here who's not a Christian, and the steps are simple, aren't they? There's only 5 of them initially. I hear the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. That Word produces faith in me. A main part of that faith is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of mankind. John 8, 24. That faith leads me to repent. I'm a sinner. I'm a transgressor of the Word of God. I need to die to that old way of living, so I put it to death. Or Jesus said, if I don't, I perish, Luke 13, 3. He wants me not just to believe in my heart, but He wants me to come forth and with courage confess that faith before men. Yes, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Matthew 10, 30 and 31. And then you take that old dead man of sin, folks, God doesn't want him around anymore. So what do? You bury him, don't you, in the waters of baptism. The blood of Jesus cleanses every sin. And when that individual comes up out of that water, he's not the same individual. He's now a new creature in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Maybe you're here today and you haven't done that. And you need to do that. You need to obey the gospel. Won't you come as we stand and sing?